Hi, so everybody, my name's Adele. I grew up in a small town outside Burnley Lancs, hence my accent. But I've made sure that my message doesn't include the word cult, oats or gravy. So I'm hoping we won't need a translator. Is that okay so far? You understand what I'm saying? Great, okay. So Richard and I have been coming to Gateway since January this year. It was one of the few churches that were meeting face-to-face, and it was an absolute delight to be able to come and join this body that was meeting face-to-face and see Naomi, albeit mostly hanging in a car park. But nevertheless, you've been a great delight and a blessing to me, especially to both of us. And I'm hoping today that I can help you in this journey that Russ is taking us on to freedom. So I'm following on from three mighty men of God, that is Ken, Ross, Richard, with this journey towards freedom. And Russ gave me the title of Liberty from External Controllers, which has become freedom from the fear of what man can do to me, and exchanging that for the reverence and awe of Almighty God, otherwise known as the fear of God. So I'm exchanging fear of what man can do to me for fear of God. So the Israelites had a bit of a journey. They were supposed to be on this journey from slavery to the promised land. And even when they were in the promised land, there were many enemies that they were fighting, trying to take territory from the kingdom of darkness and putting it into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Almighty God. And wherever there was a king that would got rid of all the false gods, they did all right and they won the battles. Every time there was a king that said, no, guys, just carry on, live like the people, let's marry the foreign women, they lost the battles. And it was a recurring all the way through the Old Testament. I want to focus on the Moses bit of the journey into the promised land. They're there in the desert. There's a search party that goes into Canaan. The report is wonderful. The land is full of milk and honey, full of wonderful fruit. And could I have Numbers 13 up? So this is Numbers 13, 28 to 33. But the people who... right, so this is the report back. So there's a big but. So yeah, land of milk and honey. But the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He's a great guy. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Intimidation. They're bigger than us, they're stronger than us, we're done for. Numbers 14 then, let's see what happens. That night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So they're on this journey, slavery to promised land, threat to their well-being, two reactions. The first reaction, those who rebel. So, can I have my next slide? Right, so those who rebel. I know what I want and I'm going to get it. God's way is not the best for me. I deserve better than this. This isn't working for me. It's not enough pleasure or reward. It's not worth the effort. I want out. It's too hard. And the root sin of all that sort of reaction is pride. So those who rebel, we know that, oh, well, those are bad people, not like us. We don't rebel. But the other group are those who are afraid of the people. And their reaction is, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I won't cope. I'm frightened. It'll turn out badly. I can't do it. It's too hard. Again, the same conclusion as that it's too hard. But it's just a different attitude. So they say, it's too hard. I want out. Whereas these people say, it's too hard. I need to be out. But it's the same conclusion. And the sin here is fear. The both groups are in sin. It's darkness. And so one way or another, the devil will try and tempt us. So Russ was talking last week about the pleasure seeking as an entry point for Satan. And that's been very nicely demonstrated this morning for us. But there's also another entry, which is fear of man. Yeah. Whenever we want out of God's ways, we've got to check it's not a Satan trap. And whether it's pleasure seeking or fear stopping you from obeying God, it's still disobedience. So rather frightening. So the challenge I want to bring, as in Numbers 14:9, do I believe having the Lord with me is enough to overcome powerful men or any other threat to my well-being? So the end of Numbers, that passage that I read, Numbers 14:9, Moses was saying, the Lord's with us. And apparently that's all we need.
The Lord's with us.
The Lord's with us. End of story. Do I believe that having the Lord with me is enough to overcome powerful men or any other threat to my well-being? So fear of man. Men can do some pretty awful things. We see this with war. We see it on the news. We see it in our own lives. There are people that cause us distress, people that hurt us. Or there are situations that threaten us, poverty or technology. I mean, I used to find technology very threatening because I just don't understand it. Technophobe, but I'm getting over that. I've got a microphone on. Yeah, got a PowerPoint. So intimidation is often a power or an authority struggle. The oppressor or intimidator wants what they want. They allow themselves to be used by Satan to trample on the people around them or to keep you down, to elevate themselves, perhaps because of their own insecurity. Satan has them bound, but also Satan wants you bound in fear because of them. Let's win as many people as possible is Satan's plan. So let's be aware of it. Talking about fear of man, Jesus very helpfully in Matthew 10:28 says this. He says, this is Jesus speaking. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. So Jesus is saying, they can only kill you. And it's like, oh, that's not very helpful. But it's about priorities. And so what Jesus is saying is, what is Jesus saying? Back on track. Yes, I can get there. What Jesus is saying is that it's all about priorities. Our priorities, our relationship with him, our walk with him. And if anything is stopping your walk, so fear stops your walk with the Lord, then ditch it, you know, get rid of it. Fear in itself is an enemy as much as what man could do to you. really. Mm-hmm. In fact, fear affects your relationship with God, so that it's more important to just ditch the fear. Because I have you, I don't need to fear what man can do to me, because I've got you as my helper. Mm. That's the theory. So, Hebrews 13, which you walked into, verse 6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can man do to me? Yeah? So this is a bit of a mantra of mine. I love this verse. I really want that confidence. I want to be able to say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me? I'm not going to be afraid. But there's a so there, and so I'm thinking, well, I'm not walking in that, so I better look at what comes before the so. And so if I go back in Hebrews 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, marriage should be honoured by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So I've been thinking about, well, what's the link between this thing that I want, that confidence, and those other two things? And I was thinking that it might be that the Lord is addressing two sources of fear, that we might fear adultery or our marriage relationship going wrong, or we might fear not having enough money. So it's not really a love of money, it's just a desire to have enough, and that we can get in bondage to fear if we've not got enough money. Russ was saying last week that a third of the population are caught up in addiction, and I wonder if another third of the population are caught up in the fear of the consequences of living with somebody with an addiction. So if you know that your other half is constantly looking at erotic images of other women, you might think, oh, I'm at risk of adultery, which would be awful. Your marriage would be messed up. Or if you're living with somebody where there's a lot of money being spent on alcohol or gambling or even shopping, you might think, there's more and more money going out onto alcohol and gambling, and I'm not going to have enough money for mortgage, rent, all those sort of things. And so then you're in bondage with that. And so I just couldn't help but notice the link. And the antidote to those are, well, don't worry about adultery. The Lord sees everything. He's the judge. I know these are very tricky issues, but I just felt like I wanted to explore that and hope that if somebody can be helped. They are very real fears. All the fears that man can do to you are very real fears. I'm not dismissing them. They make sense logically. If there's more money going out on gambling in your household, there's going to be less money for you to have on other things. It's a very real fear. However, that's the natural. We need to bring the supernatural in. Our Almighty God brings in a supernatural power to change, and his love for us. Love pushes out fear. So we bring in his supernatural power to change and say goodbye to fear. If we stay in fear and staying in the natural and what our minds can logically work out, the Lord can't help us. So we need to let him in, bring his supernatural power in. Yeah, so if we go back to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. So that's not dismissing the fact that you're in a very threatening situation. But rather, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's a tough situation. If I was in that situation, I would feel very frightened. But nevertheless, this is what the word of God has said. So I'm just hoping to help you on that journey. So I've struggled with the fear of what man could do to cause me pain and distress. I'm a nice sort of person. I'm a helpful sort of person, and I like to please people. And then sadly, you can get into fear of man. My natural instinct to a threat, the sort of your fight or flight thing, I sort of do a freeze and then I do a run away, run for cover, sort of. It's not always helpful. And then the Lord started me on a journey to try and overcome this myself about 5 or 6 years ago. And it started with me doing drumming, which is a very strange place to start, if you like. I was 52 years old. There was a women's ministry. They needed a drummer with no female drummers in the team at church. Somebody said, Adele, I bet you can drum because your son drums. It's like, I'm not so sure it works like that. But anyway, I gave it a go because it was no drummer, oh, it was me. And so I thought I'd give it a go. And it was okay. People thought, oh, yeah, it was all right. So I carried on doing that in women's ministry only. But then the main church band said, Adele, will you join the worship team? And I'm sort of thinking, are you sure? I'm in my 50s. I'm female. And the alternatives at that time were these three young men, very skilled drummers. So you've either got me or you've got very skilled young men drummers. That, for me, was intimidation. When it's my turn on the rotor, I'm sort of thinking, oh, no, I'm sure somebody else will be better. But anyway, I just faced it, got on with it, faced the fear, the intimidation of the situation, and just, you know, people seem to think I was doing okay. I've ended up drumming here. It's one great mystery, is all this to me. And I just keep embracing it and thinking, okay, yes, yes. So in my journey, I wanted to draw you a little picture. The Lord showed me this. This is early on. I'm not the best drawer, but it's quick. So there's my life. It's a tree with all my branches, and I've got fruit growing. Love, joy, peace, all that, yeah? Hopefully you can see those in my life. Patience, da-da-da-da-da. All the fruit of the... And the Lord showed me that his love for me was this great, big, thick taproot. You know, like in a dandelion. Great, big. It takes up nearly the whole of my tree, and this is God's love. And I can have his love pour on me like this, like a big waterfall. And it pushes out my fear. Great. Makes me nice and strong. I can go as deep as I like. And from here, the Lord puts in my friends, my church, my family, other things. So it all comes from his love, the things that then make me more secure. But then he actually showed me that I've got this, that I did at that time, faith. That this other little dart root here that I'd got in place for extra stability. I thought, just that little bit more strength. I'll put fear of man in there as this extra root. Just watch out for what man's up to cause me pain and distress. And then what happened was then I got fruit sort of growing on this side of the tree. Not quite so attractive. It was sort of, I would withdraw from people, keep them at a vista of a distance. There would be self-pity in there. Woe is me! A bit like the Israelites. Self-preservation. I'll do that to protect myself from that pain or damage. Really bad, horrible fruit. What I had to do with myself in prayer is I just sawed off the root. So we got an apple tree that was diseased in the garden, and there was bad fruit on one side. And it struck me that all the bad apples are on one side. And I just thought, I bet there's just a bit of a root on that side that's not so good. But that was the picture I used. And I just basically, with God's help in prayer, I pictured myself sawing through the root to get rid of it. And then I'm in faith that then, you know, the fruit will go. Eventually. And then what I've been doing is I've just been praying in an extension of God's love so that he's got the whole of my tree. The whole of my tree is him. No room for any other roots. Just God's love as my foundation. Good solid taproot. And then I'm hoping then that the fruit on this side is also the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness and all that. So that's where I'm at, up to with that one. How can I know that I can trust God? That might sound like a strange question, and nobody would actually admit, oh, I don't trust God, because, you know, that's a no-no, isn't it? Of course we all trust God. But if we did actually all trust God fully, we'd be quite different people, yes, wouldn't we? So how could we trust God? I've got a few examples. How can we know he's with me? Apparently, this is very important. It's in the Bible so many times. I am with you. He is with you. It's like, over and over again. That's supposed to be enough to know that he's with me. He's for me, a really big thing. If you know you've got his favour, that's apparently, again, all you need. He's gone before you. He's fighting for you. Really important things. He will judge righteously. So if you're worried about anything, he sees everything and he will judge righteously. Don't get on board with the judging thing. Just let him do the judging. He's a consuming fire, so he'll sort everything out. He'll put things right. I am his and he is mine, apparently. That's all we need. Off you go. Go and do life. That's all you need to know. Yeah. So when I've been on my journey to overcome this fear of man, I've had quite a few things that have been helpful to me. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And I've been trying to sort of search, well, what are those weapons? And it's not sort of listed as these are your weapons. So we've obviously got the armour and things like that. But what are our weapons? And so I've just listed some of the things that I found helpful as weapons or tools. So I sort of viewed the weapons are what I'm using, like my sword. And then my tools are getting me right, getting me my heart and my thoughts right, and then the weapons of the attack. So these are some of the things I found useful. Getting into the presence, it strikes me that being in the presence of God and actually getting out there with the presence, taking that with you, that's really key. So cultivating, getting into the presence of God is really important. Thanksgiving and rejoicing, that lifts everything. If you can start your day with thanksgiving and rejoicing, that's really powerful. Praise and worship, you know, I love worship. That definitely lifts everything. I've put a song. I've had several a songs over the time. I'm sure everybody here has. You've got a certain song that really blesses you, and you can listen to it over and over again and every time, and it's building you up. So they're really important. Seeing beyond. So not looking at what you see with your own eyes, but seeing beyond that. Well, trusting that the Lord will be doing something. He will be doing something. I've got to see beyond what I'm seeing right now with my natural eyes. See beyond it. Rising above. Sort of go and pop into heavenly places for a bit. See how it looks from that angle.
Very good.
The word of God goes without saying. Everything in there is truth and we can use that. The name of Jesus, powerful. You know all these things. repentance and forgiveness, very powerful tools. Amen. Underused, I feel. If you can get your heart in a place where you're ready to repent, you've taken ground. You've taken ground off Satan. He hates repentance. And then forgiveness, also another very powerful tool there to get your heart right. Declarations, taking the word of God and then using them as a declaration. The spirit in me is one of power, love and a sound mind. Other such four things. Yeah. So those are tools that I found very, very helpful, and I hope that they will be for you. So going to action points, my final slide, you'll be very pleased to hear. Position myself in fear of God. So that becomes greater than other fears. So you position, don't you? You mentioned positioning this morning, didn't you? You just move, right? I'm positioning myself here in fear of God, where I know he's with me and I know he's for me and he sees everything. He's fighting for me. And then it's a decision, it's a choice. So Donna was talking about choice. Decide to replace fear of man with fear of God. Refuse to fear the person or situation. So we're not fighting flesh or blood. We can watch out for what Satan's doing, but we're not fearing anything. So it's biblical to watch our enemy, he's prowling around trying to do damage. But let's not fear man or situation. Replace fear with faith and God's love. Richard taught us about replacing fear with faith, and then God's love pushes out fear. And then watch out for the traps that Satan has set to put you in fear. So they're out there. So can I pray for you? Father, we come to you in our human weakness. Since we were children, we've decided whether a situation's a threat or not based on what we see and hear. And we need our minds to be transformed by hearing what you say about our situation. And then we need your help to give us faith to believe what you say. You are the source of faith, of our faith, and you won't leave us on this journey. You will help us and finish off our faith so that we can complete our faith and have faith in you. We repent of our unbelief, our lack of faith. We repent when we believe what man says or our interpretation of our situation instead of what you say. We are sorry for that, Lord. We want to change. We humbly bow before you. We remember your great power and might. We remember your covenant promise to be our God and all that means to us. We're your children, Father God, your bride-to-be, Lord Jesus. We've got your glorious Holy Spirit inside us, which gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. We choose to fear only you and be a slave only to you. We trust in your faithfulness. You are with me. You have promised you will never leave us or forsake us. And we trust in your power to bring about change. We want to start walking in the faith of what you can do instead of the unbelief of what we've interpreted from our situation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if anybody wants prayer and I can help you saw off the root of fear of man, that won't be all that needs to happen. It won't be a 10-second, right, well, now we're finished forever. It needs a lot of walking out, but at least we could start that journey. If anybody wants that, I'm very happy to do that. That would be a delight.
Thank you so much. Great. Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. And as we begin to trust him to displace those lesser things, our great God, his great love, displacing other loves, other things. And he's begun a good work, and he's faithful to complete the good work that he's begun in each one of us. We're on this journey. Thank you for being real and transparent about your journey and working through some of those fears. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. And we're just trusting, God, to walk more and more into the light, into, as we said, even in those last weeks, God, you are light, in you there's no darkness. And as we walk in the light, darkness is displaced, darkness goes. And as we walk in love, Lord, fear has to go. Your perfect love dispels that fear, drives that fear away, and displaces it. And I thank you also that you are spirit, and where your spirit is, there's freedom. And I thank you for that too, Jesus. And if you didn't hold back your own son, how will you not gladly and freely, along with him, give us all things? Everything we need for life and godliness, you've promised. And we take that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.